Praise God. Well, go to John chapter 14 and verse 27. Lord, we love you tonight. We're so grateful and so thankful. Father, I know that, you know, all of us in here are regular church attenders. Church is a major part of our life, the most important part of our life. And Father, with that comes consistency, with that comes repetition. But Lord, we never want to let an appointment with you, an opportunity where you are in your presence, just to become mundane or become ordinary. Our flesh might say that and might not be thrilled and excited and on board, and our mind might not join in with that excitement either, but our spirit is thrilled. The real us is thrilled to be here. And Lord, we want you to know we're thrilled to be here. And we know our real us is not our flesh. The real us is not our mind. And so we just corral those things and say, you get in line, we're happy to be here. And Lord, we don't just say that just to stir something up. We want you to know we're ready for what you have. Father, say things tonight that need to be said. Do things if things need to be done. And I mean that, Father. I don't want to just play church and go through the motions. Father, we've come here tonight. It naturally may have been very inconvenient with life and work and things and family and kids and things to do when we get home and tomorrow, but we made the effort. And Father, you said we'll be blessed if we would come hungry. And I believe just coming through the doors tonight is a sign of hunger on a Wednesday night service. So Father, I thank you that you'll satisfy us. You'll help us tonight. Lord, you're going to give us exactly what we need. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's why I say every time we gather, we do have the opportunity to change. Because when God speaks, he knows what's best. And he only says things to help us. And so I seek him on what to share, you know, and do my best in that area, and then I just come and report what he once said, and it usually helps us. Praise God. So John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." See, the world's type of peace is when there's enough money to pay your bills. Then they're peaceful. When their kids are getting good grades in school and everything's good in their family, that's the world's peace. You know, when the doctor's report lines up, that's the world's peace. But how many of you know that those things can be like a roller coaster at times? Up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's really the way a lot of the world lives, is up and down, up and down. When the money's there, they're up. When the money's not, they're down. When the health is there, they're up. When the health is not, they're down. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians live that way, right? Hallelujah. But he says, I leave you peace, not as the world gives you. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, Janae, would you please pull that up in the Amplified? I love the Amplified Bible because it amplifies it and it makes it easier to understand, gives us a little more depth to it. It says, peace I leave with you, my own peace. Now think about that, my peace that Jesus had. Well, we look at Jesus' life and he was never disquieted. He was never disgruntled. He was never agitated in the sense of losing his peace. Now, he did get angry when they were doing things in the temple, but that was a justified, a righteous anger, amen? Nothing wrong with that. We see in the garden, you know, there was a temptation to get over to worry and fear, but he dealt with that real quick. But the majority of Jesus' life was spent in a life of peace regardless of what circumstances were. And thank God that's the peace he's left us. Hallelujah. He said, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let. That means it's up to you. He wouldn't have been able to say this to you if there was a circumstance in the world that could rob from you. Because he would have had to say, do not let your heart be troubled unless you're facing this, then I understand. No. He's telling us we can stop it at the door, not let it come into our lives. It says, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves, to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit or give permission yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Well, this kind of goes along, well, not kind of, it does go along with Philippians 4 and verse 6, which says, be anxious, or you could say it this way, don't lose your peace over anything. And again, God can't say things to us that aren't attainable. That would be unjust of Him. If he were to say, do not be anxious, do not lose your peace, do not be agitated, all those words that He said, and it wasn't possible, that would be unjust. He wouldn't be a good father, right? If I tell my children, you can have something, and really you're just kind of dangling that out there, you know, that'd be lying to them. That would be hurting them. That would be you'd call me an unjust dad. Well, we don't have an unjust father, praise God. And so He says, stop allowing yourselves to be this way. Don't let it happen, praise God. Well, apparently we got to stop allowing ourselves and giving permission for this stuff to happen. We've talked many times about the dangers of losing peace in our lives, and I'm going to go over a couple of them, but I'm going to mostly tonight try to show you how to stay in that peace, and there's a reason for it. I'm getting ready to start a series, and I don't know if it's going to be Wednesday night, and I don't know if it's going to be Sunday morning. It's just been a series that has been on my heart, on the radar of my spirit, about seeking Him and hearing from Him and learning how to get answers from Him. Lots of people reach out to me all the time about these things, and I pray about them and seek them, and the Bible lays out how to hear from heaven, how to position. How many of you know at times, we're going to see that in that series, you got to position yourself to hear from God. You have to be in the right place. And I remember being in Newfoundland on a moose hunt a couple years ago, and where I was hunting, there was no cell phone service at all. And here I had my cell phone, and here I wanted to get messages and wanted to send messages out, but I couldn't receive correspondence because of the position I was in. Now, if I moved locations, I could then get messages and correspond. Well, it's the same way. A lot of people aren't in position to hear from heaven. They want to hear from heaven. They need to hear from heaven, but they're just not in position. And so the reason I'm talking about this is because to even go into that series of learning to hear from God, you can't hear from God when you're not peaceful. And so to even learn how to position yourself to get to a place of hearing answers from Him, we have to learn to be peaceful. Because how many of you know, hearing from Him will change your whole world? I've been even this week in a few conversations with a few different people about this, that, you know, in Proverbs 3 it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. Well, what we know about God is He's all-knowing. He's the smartest. He's the wisest. He can see the beginning from the end. He knows exactly what you should do, decisions you should make, decisions you shouldn't make, where you should go, where you shouldn't go. Amen. What you should do, what you shouldn't do. He knows. If you're stuck in a financial problem, how many of you know? He's not up in heaven saying, I can't figure, this one's tough. This one's stumping me. You know, down there, my child, they're struggling. This diagnosis, I can't figure out how to fix that. He's all-knowing. But it's getting the answers from there to us that would change our whole world. Amen. Amen. Some of us need answers from God. Amen. And if we would get one, you know, find out the direction from Him, it would solve everything. But a lot of people, you know, are just kind of blindly making decisions and doing things on their own, and they're doing it and saying, then God, bless that thing. Bless that thing. Well, He's already blessed something. It's called His plan. It's called His will. It's already blessed. You don't need to ask for a special blessing for that. It's just there. And so, but a lot of people aren't in position to hear from Him. And it just seemed good in my heart that before we even start talking about that series, we need to make sure that we learn how to live in peace. Because if your mind is chaos and it's just, you're unsettled, you're agitated, you're disturbed, you're disquieted, you're not content, it's going to be hard to get answers from a God who's a God of peace, who's not going to speak and shout over top of that chaos. Real quick, go with me to Psalms 46 and verse 10. And notice Jesus said, Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, which means we must be able to do it regardless. Well, you could say it this way. The only reason anybody ever gets agitated or disturbed or disquieted is because something's poking them in life, whether it be a sickness, a disease, a financial thing, a relationship problem, a rumor, threats, anything at all that could cause you to become agitated and discomfort. That's the only time that you would get discomfort. If you have all, if all the money's there and your family's serving God and you're completely healthy and you're getting favor every day, there's really not a lot of things that are poking at you to try to pull you out of peace. And so when he's telling you to not be agitated, he's telling you to not, or to stop permitting it or stop allowing it, he's telling you to do that in the midst of the very things that are trying to poke you into that way and put you into that position. And so Jesus is saying, I don't care about your circumstances. I want you to know you can live in peace regardless. Didn't he show us that and demonstrate that to us on the boat? What was he doing when the storm was all around? Sleeping. He was sleeping. What was he doing? Just demonstrating peace in the midst of a storm? Praise God. Jesus never lost his peace. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says this. Now notice this. Be still. That means be calm. And know that I am God. Or I like to say it this way. Be still, be peaceful, and know. What's it say? Before you can know and hear and receive, you got to be still. Now that's not just talking about standing still and being in one place, because you can stand still and have your mind be full of worry. You can have not a lot of outward movement in your body and just, I mean, we do it all the time, right? We lay there in our bed, on our back, not moving, eyes up at the ceiling, worrying and stressing and fearful and playing things over and over and in our heads. So he can't just be talking about a physical stillness, because if it was about a physical stillness, well, let's just tie everybody up and we'll hear from God and get things, because then we can't move. Just put us in a straitjacket and then we'll just hear from God. No. It's talking about being still, being calm, being peaceful, being in a peaceful state, praise God. You know what the Message Bible says? It says, step out of the traffic. You ever, you know, we go to, speaking of California, you go to California and we used to have the hotel that the church used to, you know, they block off a certain amount of rooms at times. Well, they used to have one that was past this one exit that would also go coming off of a different route out there, and it all heads towards L.A. and things. And right at nighttime before we'd go to the 7 o'clock services, that's rush hour traffic. And where the hotel was located and you getting onto the on-ramp, I mean, it's the real deal. I mean, you've been there, Jake. You've seen it. It's crazy out there in that exit, you know. And like, you really have to be careful going out there and really have some skill to drive and even get into the thing to be alive. It's crazy. And so in that position, in that place, it's chaotic. There's a lot going on. And the new hotel is now past that exit. And now you just drive right onto the interstate and go right to service. What? You stepped out of the traffic, stepped out of the craziness. And people need to learn. Now see, that doesn't mean, yeah, I'm going to say this because I've heard this before. And it needs to be said. Christians that work in workplaces in the natural that come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I want to get out of this job. People swear there. People are people don't talk right, and they're not all Christians. Yeah, no duh. That's why you're there, to be the light, to be an influence. Praise God, right? What am I? Why am I saying that? Because you can't separate. When he says to be still or step out of the traffic, it doesn't mean that you can turn off all the craziness of what the world brings, but you can turn off the craziness from getting into you, is what he's saying. And if you want to know, and you want to hear from him, and that's because when we talk about this series, In the beginning, we're going to lay out how people's lives were changed when they heard from heaven, when they got direction from God, when things were always the same and spinning the same tires. And then God spoke and bam, it changed their whole direction of their whole life. Praise God. And it changes everything. We need to hear from Him. But we need to be in position to hear from Him. Go with me real quick to Mark chapter 25. Just showing you the dangers real quick. Of course, what's that danger we're talking about for what this series is the danger of not being able to hear from Him. Not being able to be quiet. Because remember what He says, and again, I'm kind of overlapping into that series a little bit, but that's okay because we need to hear it as much as we can. But Mark 25 and verse 34, you know what He says? He says, I'm not in the earthquake. I'm not in the fire. I'm not in the lightning. I'm not in all the boom, bing, bang, boom, loud things. You know where I'm at? I'm at the still, small voice. The still, small voice. Well, it's going to be hard to hear from Him when your flesh is full of worry, fear, your mind's full of worry, fear, doubt, and unbelief, and stress, and anxiety. And God's just that little voice saying, go this way, go that way, do this, do that. And we're not peaceful, right? And so we got to learn to be peaceful, to hear from Him. But Mark chapter 5 and verse 34. Mark chapter 5 and verse 34. This is the woman with the issue of blood. He said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. Janae, will you pull that one up in the Amplified, please? Verse 34. Look what it says in the end. It says, go into peace. Look how Jesus told her to go into. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing by the disease. What's He saying? This thing's going to attempt to come back on you. One of the reasons or one of the ways you can keep it off you is to go forth into peace. I imagine up until this point in her life, especially not knowing the Word, how to renew her mind and things, that peace was not something that was a common thing for a woman who'd spent all that she had, grew nothing better, but rather grew worse, right? I imagine peace was not, and I imagine that lack of peace, that worry, that anxiety. I mean, medical doctors will tell you, your body's not cut out for it. I'm sure it didn't help her condition. And now Jesus is saying, you're free from this, but you need to go forward in a different way, and it's got to be peace. Notice He didn't ask her and say, lady, what's your circumstances in your life? Do you have enough money in the bank? Oh, you do? Okay, go forth in peace. No, He didn't care. He didn't care what the circumstances, in the sense of He cared about her, but it didn't matter to Him what her circumstances were to give her the order to go forth in peace. What He's really saying is, no matter what, you can't afford not to go forth in peace. We know this, that a lack of peace is a door opener to the devil. Now, how many of you know He's a thief? He doesn't need the door open. But you know what? I like to try to keep all the doors locked anyways and then make it a little harder for him to get in, right? And there's certain things we can do that open the door. And we know on the boat, we won't look at it for time's sake, that Jesus said, where's your faith? How is it you're so afraid? How is it you're so anxious? How is it you're so worried? You can say it this way. How is it you're so full of no peace? And what happened was there was no faith there. Go with me to Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. We have to, not only for the sake of hearing from God, Job is the book right before Psalms, not only for the sake of hearing from heaven, because you won't hear from heaven living a chaotic life. You just won't. And I don't just mean busy, busy, busy. I mean chaos in your head. Chaos in your flesh and your emotions. You know, overly emotional people don't hear well from heaven. They don't. People let their emotions run wild and just get all worked up. And people that live out of their heads, that are overly analytical. How do I know? Because I'm one of those people that have to guard that. I'm a thinker. And the mind is a terrible place to live. And it's hard, so you got to quiet those things down. Well, look at what it says, not only that, because of faith. Job 3, verse 25, now we know Job went through a time. But look what he says, For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. People look, what was the entryway for the devil to get in there? Because we know God didn't do this. What was the entryway? The entryway was lack of peace in the form of fear for him. Well, what did Job used to do? He used to make sacrifices for his children daily, the Bible says. And what it says is, if by chance they're doing anything wrong, I don't even know for sure they are, but I'm just so afraid that I'm just going to go through the motions on this because I'm so afraid what's going to happen to them, and I'm going to make these empty sacrifices. It's like people that speak confessions and confessions and confessions, but are doing so from a place of a fear and a foundation of fear, expecting the confession to trump what's really coming out of their heart, which is doubt and unbelief. Remember the story that I told you that Pastor Nancy relayed to us, that she was going through a situation in her body, or no, she had got symptoms on her body, and it was, it's never a good time to get sick, but how many of you know sometimes there's other things in life that are more pressing that you got to be at, you got to do in different things, and this was not a time that she could be down for a couple days with sickness, and so she started to feel the symptoms on her body, and instantly that fear set in that, oh my gosh, you're going to be sick, what are you going to do, what are you going to do, you can't afford to be sick right now, you got this thing to go to, and so she started confessing, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, he desires to heal my body, send his word and heal, just going through all the scriptures, confessing, well, she got sick. And she went to Jesus and said, Lord, I don't understand. You know I believe in healing. She wasn't saying that from a prideful place, but saying, Lord, you know my heart. You know I believe in healing. You know I believe in your word. You know I know what the word says. And here I'm confessing the word. And the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said, but you were confessing from a place of doubt and unbelief. And he said, you first should have took care of that worry, that fear, that lack of peace, and then started confessing. Many people have doubt confessions, fear confessions. What was Job doing, sacrifices? Maybe in those times, it's the sacrifices for the sins, that's how you did it. That was a true thing. But he was doing it out of fear. And it says, the thing which I was so afraid of, what was he saying? The thing that I laid in bed every night hoping would never happen to me happened. Are we sitting around people thinking about and waiting for the other shoe to fall? You know that saying that something's just going to have to go wrong. It's the world. Something's just going to have to be terrible happen to me. It just has to not work out for me. That's just the way things go. You're speaking and believing that into existence. Amen. We ought to have an expectation of good and mercy, knowing that tests and trials come, but also knowing we have the victory over every single one of them. Amen. Amen. And Job said, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I sat and meditated on, that which troubled me and agitated me has happened in my life. But look at verse 26. I was not in safety, neither had I rest. You know what the NIV says? I had no peace. He's telling you how he was before it happened. When I was in great fear, he said, I had no peace. I was not and am not at ease. That's what the Amplified says. Nor have I had rest, nor had I or have I rest. He says, before it even happened, I wasn't resting. Why? Constantly thinking, oh my gosh, what if this happens to my kids? What if this happens to my kids? Yeah, but what if it doesn't and the good things happen to your life? You ever dared to actually think that way? You got to deal with this stuff. You go back to the King James, please. So Job opened the door. We certainly don't want to open the door to a lack of peace. So I want to help you just real quick tonight. Go to Philippians 4 and verse 11. There's no great magic pill or magic dust we can sprinkle on you or some great rhyme we can say and change everything. It's just good old-fashioned doing the word. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. But the word's enough. The word's enough. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect or want, for I have learned. He learned something. In whatsoever state I am. Well, he's not talking about the 50 states. We know he wasn't ever the 50 states. He's not talking about if I'm in Alaska, if I'm in Indiana. No, he's talking about the state, the, the way his life was going, you know, how he, what he was, his circumstances, that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What's he saying? I've learned. That means if you don't learn it, it won't be possible. He said, I've learned no matter what's going on around me, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what my bank account says, no matter what my body says, no matter what the rumors say and what situations and oppression says, I've learned to be content, or I've learned to stay in peace. The first thing Jesus said to that woman, go in peace. Remember when he said over there in Matthew 25, he said, look at the birds, but he said, stop worrying. You remember what I said about stop worrying? This revelation came to me one day as I was driving. It's just so simple. God, I don't have deep, deep revelations, you know, because I think if the Lord tried to speak to me in deep revelations, it'd just go over my head. And I'd say, Lord, what are you talking about? And I saw a stop sign, and the words came to me, stop worrying about your life. And I thought, you know, that stop sign is there for a reason. It's not just there to add color to or decoration to the sidewalk. It's there to keep everybody safe and sound. And if you violate that order, you're going to get hurt. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you. And Jesus is saying, stop it. Don't let yourself do this anymore. If you go through my stop signs, that's when trouble happens. And Job went right through the stop sign. Now, granted, Job didn't have the word like we do, so we give him a little bit of a break, you know, but it still, you know, shows us a principle there. He says, I've learned to be content no matter what state I am. Well, we know that some of the states Paul was in. Prison, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked. I mean, he was there. Beaten. He says, I know, verse 12, how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me. But go back to verse 11. Paul's saying, I learned. So what he's saying here is showing us, if Paul has learned to stay in peace and contentment, no matter what he's facing, it's possible for us. But know how it's possible only if you've learned it. If your money troubles you, if your job problems trouble you, if your family situations trouble you, if your circumstances trouble you, if the doctor's report troubles you, all that's showing you is you've not learned enough. Not being rude or mean about it, you just haven't learned. Because Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Don't let yourself be agitated over anything. Paul said, no matter what I faced, I learned it. Well, we can all learn it too. Amen. If you ever get out of contentment, you just don't know enough yet. So let's learn, praise God. Go with me to Psalms 23 and verse 5. Psalms 23 and verse 5. No matter what you're facing. How many of you know, before I read this, this is easy to obey my heart, you know, it's a... Sometimes you're going to need to cut off certain connections and associations in order to keep your peace. It's the truth. I know I've had to do it. Sometimes you'll have to back away or limit associations, right? Doesn't the word say that evil company corrupts good character? Well, I understand that the context of what that's being said, but if you even think about this way, and the word teaches that who you associate with it can get over on you and being unequally yoked and different things like that. But, you know, worry and lack of peace is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. Well, it says evil company. Well, people that are walking around worried, anxious, and try to get that onto you, that's evil company. They're participating in evil things. See, we think of evil, we think of, you know, Ten Commandments type evil, but Jesus said through Paul, whatsoever's not of faith is sin. Not just Don't steal, don't kill, don't, you know, all those things. Those are sins, yes, we know, but these are sins as well. Evil company will corrupt good character. So you could say it this way. A worried person, an anxious person, a stressed out person, you spend enough time with them, it's going to corrupt your peace. Amen. Amen. I know, because I've been there, you know. Be around people that are always talking doubt and unbelief, always worried, always telling you the world's going to be this, this is terrible, this is always bad, you're never, oh my gosh, what's happened to you? I talk to people. I mean, I've had to tell people, you need to stop being around them. And it was mom or dad, brother or sister. I'm telling you the truth. I remember one person, it was hard for me to say it. The Holy Ghost clearly told me the reason that they were facing this was because of a parent. They were, a parent was nobody from here, was speaking things and speaking things and speaking things and speaking things to them. And it got so into them, they became just absolutely trapped and in bondage to fear. And the Holy Ghost showed me. I asked them. I said, how much time are you spending with so-and-so? And they said, all the time. I said, you know, I love you, and I love your parents, but if you want this, you want peace because they were in a place where they needed healing. I said, well, Jesus said you can't keep healing or get healing without peace. I said, and you're spending hours with somebody that's telling you, oh my gosh, you should be so worried. Oh my gosh, are you going to be okay? Oh my gosh, that's not the kind of counsel you want to be around. Right. Say, well, but Pastor, it's family. I'll never forget the saying I heard, and it's so true. You know what they say? They say blood is thicker than water. That's the statement, right? That blood, the blood that runs between family members, that's thicker than water. That you stick together. No, the true statement sometimes should be blood is thicker than common sense. Because the things that people do to violate common sense in the name of family is unreal. But they're family. Yeah, but they're causing you to lose your peace and you're sick. Jesus told me to guard my peace at all costs. I don't mean turn back your back on somebody and be rude, but I got to pull back at times. And I said, I love you. This is tough for me to say. I said, but you need to stop spending time with your parents. They said, you know, Pastor Mike, God's been dealing with me about it. I said, I know. The Holy Ghost just told me, and you have the same Holy Ghost. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Well, it's about guarding that, isn't it? Hallelujah. Well, that was from the Holy Ghost. He said, you preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, this is what I want you to see is you better learn how to operate in peace regardless because your enemies aren't going away. Because he says, I want you to receive and pull up and receive from me in the very presence of them. Well, if you have enemies, it's not a good feeling to have enemies. But if you actually have your enemies right there where you can see them, that brings about even more of a chance of worry and a heightened sense of uncomfortableness. But he says, I've prepared the table I've prepared before you. Now, he only prepares a table for you to pull up and partake of it. And what his table is good. So he says, I want you to partake in the midst of your very enemies. When the senses are so heightened to the opportunity of agitation and disturbance and disquietness, I want you to sit down and enjoy a meal with me. Praise God. The devil, ladies and gentlemen, is not going anywhere. He's on this earth. He has every right to be here. If we say, well, Pastor, you know, I'd be able to walk in this peace if the doctor's report was different, if my spouse was this way, or if my money was this way, or if my job was this way, then I could do it. No. You just don't know enough yet, because Paul learned that no matter what's going on, he stayed in peace. What's staying in peace? Staying in an opportunity or a position of receiving. Peace is staying in a position of hearing, praise God. Hallelujah. So we need to learn. And here's the thing about it. When we need to hear or receive from God, it's usually in times of when we need the money, we need the answer, we need the health. And if we need those things, it's because we're smack dab in the middle of problems and pressure and things closing in on us. that's the time we need to learn to have peace. You know you don't struggle. You know when most people are the most excited, I find? Tax return time. Oh, you should see some of the people that get so happy because of their tax return. Now, all the rest of the year, their life, they look miserable and life's hell on earth. Why? The money made them happy. It's true. I'm not saying you can't get happy over money. But my gosh, if I got to wait till tax time, if you get a return, you know, and you get a good return or whatever, if I have to wait till then to be happy, that's a sorry life. Yeah, come on. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, He wants to help us. Go to back to Philippians chapter 4, but we're going to go to verses 8 and 9 before Paul got to where he said, I've learned it. Well, he's going to teach us how. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And what Pastor Nancy was saying is you've got to deal with that worry, that unsettling before you can get your answer, before you can get your help. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think. Think on these things. He tells you what to think about. Your doctor's report that tells you you're never going to be healed is not a good report. That's not lovely. It's not. Hallelujah. It's not pure. All those things that we ramble on in our heads, they don't, and that causes us to worry, they probably don't fit the criteria of what he's telling you to think on here. He says, think on these things. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, these things which you have both learned and received and heard, those are the things he just talked about to think on, and have seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. What's he saying? You want to stay in peace? It's all going to come from your brain and your thoughts. Thoughts, 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 thoughts. What you do with your thought life is going to determine if you stay in peace. When you stay in peace, you stay in a position of receiving, in a position of hearing from him. Well, okay. So we think on these things. It's about our mind. Well, then flip back to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. He said, I'll keep him in perfect peace. What's that? Perfect positioning to hear. Perfect positioning to receive your healing. Perfect positioning to receive that financial blessing that you need. He said, why? Because you have to be in peace to receive. He said, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Keep you there. What means stay right there. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. You know what this is telling us? If you're out of perfect peace because your mind's in the wrong place. No, but Pastor, it's because I don't have enough money. No, because if you thought right, not having enough money would not trouble you. No, Pastor, it's not the fact that my mind's not on the Word. It's the fact that I have this doctor's report. Yeah, my point exactly. Your thoughts in that. Because if your thoughts were in the Word, the doctor's report wouldn't trouble you. Because Paul said, no matter what's going on around me, doctor's reports, financial reports, family reports, what the world's saying, what thoughts are saying, doesn't matter. I've learned to be content. I've learned to stay in peace. Well, here's how we do it. Keep our mind on the Word. I was dealing with someone recently going through an intense physical problem in their body. And the doctors were saying that potentially there were some things that were showing up and potentially it could be a very bad thing. And potentially it could not be a very, very bad thing. You know how those things go. It's like the time, you know, I've learned how to follow God more in the idiotic things that I've done to realize, oh, that wasn't God. I was sensing that back there, but I violated that. Now I've learned. I took the thump on the head. That wasn't God. You've been there before anybody. And I'll get back. Don't let me forget to get back to this story about the person going through the physical thing. And I had some things going on in my body years and years ago. And I did a dumb thing and told a worrier. We've learned to keep quiet on a lot of things we tell people. Because remember what Jesus told Jairus when they came to him with the report and said, your daughter's dead. He said, be not afraid. Don't let that get in you. You got to guard. And remember when they got to the house, they had to push all the doubters out. Why? Mom and dad need to be in faith for this. And if mom and dad are around the weeping and the wailing and the carrying on and the tumult, as the Bible called it, they're not going to stay in peace. They're not going to receive. And so I had some things going on in my body. And, you know, the doctor told me they could be minor and simple and nothing, or they could be to the worst. You know, there's two sides there. And well, I stayed in faith on it, and I sought the Lord on what to do because I didn't have insurance. And the procedure that I was going to need, when you don't have insurance, costs a pretty penny, especially back in the, it'd be a pretty penny to me now, but especially back when I was in my early 20s, you know? And I knew by my spirit it was the thing to not be worried about. I just knew that. Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't not have doctor's procedures and things. It's about following the Holy Ghost. Because there's been times where the Holy Ghost, I've been led, you better get that taken care of. And I did. Thank God that helped me. But in this situation, I knew that I knew by God that it was the minor thing. But I made the mistake of telling somebody, and I violated my heart even mentioning it to somebody. I knew not to say it to this specific person. And I've learned my lesson going forward that this specific person usually finds out things when it's all over with, and they're not happy about that. She's laughing because she knows. And so I told them, and they, Mike. They might even use Michael. When they throw out Michael, you know they mean business. Oh, you can't. No. Oh, you got to get this. You better go get this checked out. You can't. What if? And I started to hear that. Well, he said, guard your ears. Take heed to what you hear. Why? Because what you hear turns into what you believe. And I went from believing that I wasn't going. That's why you can't be around certain people that chitter chatter all the doubt and unbelief. Da, 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 da. Why? Because what you're hearing becomes what you're believing. I started believing, oh my gosh, what if? And I started imagining what that's going to look like and envisioning. So I went and had the procedure done and came out for the procedure. They told me, well, that wasn't needed. Or, I mean, when they did the procedure, they could find out that the potential problem, it's not a problem at all. Well, now I'm stuck with that bill. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. But when you do things your own way, you might get the blessing. I got the blessing of finding out it was nothing on a piece of paper, but it cost me some sorrow when I could already known from the Holy Ghost. But I listened. So back to that person that had that sickness, and they were telling them all this stuff, and they were troubled by it. Oh, I've just lost my peace. I've lost my peace. I said, well, I can tell you how to get your peace back, get your mind on the Word. And this came to me. I said, you're upset and troubled because you're getting a doctor's report that's telling you something on a piece of paper or what they say. They write stuff down. I said, and they're telling you that. I said, the problem is you believe that more than already a report that's been written about you by God Almighty. That's why I understand now when I heard Pastor Nancy say, when there's seemingly not enough money there, if your mind's right, it won't trouble you. When your mind's right, symptoms won't trouble you. Because when your mind is on the right thing, the Word, He says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. It's not about your money being all in a line. It's not about your health being okay. It's about learning to get out of that situation first from a foundation of peace where you can be in true faith and be in a position to hear from heaven when He says, hey, do this, it'll change everything. But you can't if you're just disquieted and chaos, you know. I'll keep you in perfect peace is my understanding. What's that mean? We need to keep our mind on the Word. Keep our mind on the Word. Keep our mind on the Word. We'll close with this, Joshua 1:8. We know this verse. We know this verse. But until we start doing this verse, who cares if we know it? Joshua 1 and verse 8. What's he say? I'll keep you in perfect peace. Your mind's... You know, if you don't first recognize that perfect peace is the location that you need to stay, then maybe the rest of this won't matter very much. You know, we kind of just went over it real quick, but you got to think about what Jesus' words were. Stop worrying. Stop being out of peace. Stop it. If Jesus is saying stop, it's for a reason. If he's telling that woman, you can only go forward in peace, it must be really, really important. Be still, be at peace to hear from me. We got to get that revelation, because then when we start to get tempted to be disquieted or agitated, oh, no, I can't afford this. This is not allowed. I am going to stay right in peace. What does the devil always try to do? Knock us off that place of peace. Knock us off that place of peace. Why? Because if he knocks us off the place of peace, guess what goes flying out of our hands? The shield of faith. Because what's the one thing he can't penetrate? The shield of faith. Quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. But the only way the shield of faith stays in your hand and ready to fight those battles is if you're in a foundation of peace. Because Jesus said where there's no peace, where there's afraid, where there's worry, there's anxiousness and stress, faith is nowhere to be found. So what's the devil going to try to do? Poke you. Try to push you over into a place of doubt, unbelief, and being nervous and being afraid and being scared. Anything that's not peace is not faith. Well, how do we stay in peace? He said, meditate on the Word, meditate on the Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. But go to the third, the last part of the second, well, I don't know if it's the second up there, but in my Bible, it's the second line into the third line. It says, you shall meditate on the Word day and night. Now, the result of day and night meditation in the Word is what? Prosperity and good success. You know what that kind of sounds like? Perfect peace. He doesn't say turmoil and agitation and disquietedness. The Word meditated upon will translate into Isaiah 26:3 coming to pass, perfect peace, which will translate into you being able to hear from heaven and be in faith. It all goes together. Well, we know what people say, I don't have time. Well, I would say to you, I don't have time for sickness. I don't have time for poverty. I don't have time for things not working out for me. It's not an option to not be in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. So what are those areas that are causing you? Maybe it's your kids. I tell you, for parents, that's a hot button. And the devil's going to push on the buttons that are going to cause... Maybe yours is offense. How many of you know offense isn't perfect peace? Maybe he'll push the button to get you bitter and angry at somebody and resentful to somebody, right? Maybe it's loneliness. How many know loneliness isn't perfect peace? But I'm lonely. Yeah, but it's not about being in perfect peace. It's not about whether or not you're truly lonely in the natural. It's about keeping your mind right. It's just the truth. Maybe he'll push on that button. He'll push on it. Amen. Try to get you into thinking about how lonely you are, how sad you are, how depressed you are, and how offended you are, and how angry you are, and how wronged you were. No. Anything that's not perfect peace must be avoided. And so what are those areas that tempt to get you over into ruffling your feathers? I guess you'd say it that way. You need to find the Word on it, and you need to meditate and meditate and meditate. Why? To stay in peace. Amen? We've learned now. Well, you've been taught. Now you got to learn it yourself, right? You've been taught how to do this. Now it's time to go out and put it to practice and learn it for our lives and walk in it, praise God. I'll tell you, some of the greatest opportunities within the church, you know, some things that come up with buildings and people and rumors and different things and things they tell you are going to happen. What an opportunity to exercise peace. Hallelujah. It's easy when everything's all hunky-dory, as I like to say. But we have an opportunity for His peace that He left us no matter what. Well, you've learned it tonight, so go forth and be a doer. Father, we thank You tonight. We love You. Lord, I know this message is the precursor to, which is showing people that they can actually hear from heaven and get answers from you. And that they can get direction and counsel from the God that knows everything about our life and that loves us so much. And Father, just know that we'll never get to that place of hearing from heaven and pressing in to receive what you have for us if we live in chaos in our mind and in our emotions. Peace is what you're calling us to. Yes, Lord, you said in Isaiah 55 and verse 12, they shall go forth in joy and they shall be led by peace. Peace is the only platform in which God leads, in which we can hear. And so, Father, I pray that people would put this message to good use and that they would be doers of this. Father, it's great to sit here and amen. And Lord, you come up with different examples and analogies and you bring up Holy Ghost rabbit trails, and that gets us excited when we get to watch you work through the preaching. And it's easy to get excited here, but what about tonight when we're laying in bed and the devil starts pushing on buttons and poking at us? What about tomorrow when we wake up and the money problem is still there and the symptom maybe feels a little worse? Or what then, Lord? I pray that people be doers of this, Father. Pray that they would not go forth in any other way than endeavoring to be in peace. And so, Father, I pray a blessing over each and every one of them. Father, that this would be real to them, that this would be big on the inside of them, that their eyes would be open to this. Let's just go ahead and thank him tonight and worship him. I know everybody in here is born again. If you are listening by live stream and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says there's only one way to heaven. It's through the Father, through Jesus. And all you have to do is believe on him. If you're listening, you say, I want to go to heaven. I want to have eternal life. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus, all you have to simply do is cry out to him and say, Lord, I believe you. I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. If you pray that, you can get a hold of us. There's a number on the website. There's an email. And we'll get you set up on your next step with him. Well, let's just thank him and praise him tonight. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We praise your holy name. We honor you and bless you tonight. Oh, satre ne mesco morto con narascate. We praise you, matare. Matare se cotos con rascetete. E velo morto cora nasikita satra me che te scopo. A leve son dodo mahate se che toto shambra che te se. La troma haeta ta sanglate. E sa tropa latisinta mascora te setete. Lendo mo cota se che te se che toro so. L'anne sengo to scotro scotro so tra matasca tra. E sa tata scatosco toto. Okay. You got to stop. When it comes to these associations, you got to be more concerned with disobeying Jesus than you are about how that person's going to feel. A lot of people won't obey the Lord and pulling back and separating and guarding things because, well, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to hurt them. Well, what about hurting Jesus? Again, nobody's saying you got to be rude or mean in the way you do things, but I have an obligation to him, not to anybody else. Amen. That person that you're afraid of offending, or that situation you're afraid of hurting or hurting their feelings, I don't have to stand before them someday. And that's what just came up my spirit as we were praying, is you got to be more concerned with disobeying him. Because a lot of times people are disobeying him because they're actually more concerned with what that person's thinking. I'm more concerned with what he's thinking. Amen. Father, thank you for that. That's hard stuff, I know. That's real stuff. That's real life stuff that... Oh, sadre mejeto con bajate shekete, sotro badistata, entro bastendo cota la tasche treschete toscata, nisa trama desketoto dromae, tiskita sotromo coto sotrate, retos o brandes que te se leto sotro, molta sadre que sotro, enrovase que to sobrongo toscotro, lepe seco toscotro, mamase teto sotra batesque de, drameseneto scotrascate se, vronda masiki, ate se. Let's just pray for a few minutes together and see if what the Lord wants to do. And if we're done, we're done. Asaketo sopa, late sembo cotosa pata, lenta masata de, lota sala teskete se troposcota ta, lete sengo tosco trauma ha, lete se teto coso, vrate se topo, tota se trete se, lete se cotosco trame se ketete, vlengo tosco prota da siata masata, yeto so droma sabrande sketon dramada, mradasa doto so trongo tosco trosa tra. Fleto so pata, ah masikiti, ah masikiti scatroscotro, eso corto so troma scatrasa, eto scotro scopatas che trepete, frotto so troma gatas che trete, blandana mata sedreto, zedreto, mesetreto, mesetreto, mastracata, naopratesco proto, atatese. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for all that you've given to us, the utterance that was there, the way that certain things were said in the service, Father, that almost have a prophetic slant. I'm not saying I'm a prophet or even operate in that office, but the way that things come out and touch on different things, we're thankful for that, Father. So many things that were not on the notes and planned to say were said because people pray for utterance around here. They actually pray that your words would be spoken, and Father, that's the kind of church we want to be. So, Father, feel free to always say and do what you want to do around here. We love you tonight. Let's just stand to our feet and glorify him together as we close. Let's tell him we love him like we mean it, praise God. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We bless you. We glorify your holy name. We thank you for all that you are, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming out. Answer the symptoms when they try to attack. When things talk to you, it's time to talk right back. It's amazing what'll happen when you open your mouth and you answer it. They were on the path. It was breakfast time. When across the field, they saw a sign. The master came, there was no food to eat. So he opened up his mouth and he talked to a tree. You gotta answer the problem, answer the lack, answer the symptoms when they try to. Say it, have what you say.
Spirit of God, speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and songs, praying much in other tongues. It gets me through the door, but I won't stop there, no. I'm going on to more. Well, I'm living full. Speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and songs, praying much in other tongues gets me through the door, but I won't stop there, no. I'm going on to more. More revelation, more direction, more insight to his plans for me. In the Spirit I will see as the rivers flow, drinking up pure refreshment for my soul. I'm living full of the Spirit of God. I'm speaking to myself in songs and hymns and songs, praying much in other tongues that gets me through the door. Supply and